I don't even know what God's going to do, because it's already been an awesome evening. Hasn't it? Hasn't it been an awesome evening? It's been an awesome conference, and the testimonies, the dance, the worship. I mean, it's all just been just like the whipped cream and cherry on top. Amen? Amen? And I think they're going to move that stuff aside, because there's one more thing that I wanted to share with you. It really puzzled me, and I just kind of wanted to share a little bit about a word that, you know how somebody will get in front of you and they see a picture? And it's like 1,000 words to me. You come and give me a vision or a picture, it's like 1,000 words. It really is. And I ponder and ponder it, and I will. It's like I'm that word, I'm walking around it and walking around. I'm listening to what the Lord's saying. I'm reading my word. I'm meditating on it. It's like, how does that apply to me? How does it apply to you? Why does he want me to know that? It was like he said, Nancy, ask him, how much do I weigh? Well, I had to chuckle at that. Well, how much do you weigh, you know, is what's going on? You know, you weigh a lot. You're a big God. Amen? He's a big God. I don't even know how to explain him. I said, so what do you mean, Lord? How much do you weigh? And he says, well, in comparison to the world, how much do you think I weigh? He's talking about the heaviness of God. He's talking about kabod, which means his glory. Do you remember when we first became Christians and we walked in La La Land? And the heaviness of God was so welcoming? Amen? Hallelujah. That's his glory. That's his manifestation in our lives. That's his Shekinah glory. I had that actual experience when I got baptized in Holy Spirit. I mean, I know a lot of people don't have that experience. It's okay. But me and Moses have something in common. Because when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was in a charismatic Christian Catholic church. Whoa. And they were teaching on it was the Spirit-filled conference. Life in the Spirit, 6 or 8 week course. And I decided I wanted to know more about the Spirit. I came into the kingdom of God in a very conservative church. You did not raise your hands. You did not clap in church. And whoa, duct tape comes out if you say hallelujah out loud. I mean, no manifestation. I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but that was the way it was. My pastor used to get up there and say the reason he's called to ministry is his duty. All of these things, when I came into the kingdom of God, I thought those were all right. I did. Until one day I was going down the street and I decided I couldn't take it anymore. I felt like there was something out there that I needed, that I was missing, that I had been robbed of. Because when I would read 1st and 2nd Corinthians and I'd read Revelations and I would read the book of Acts, you know what? That was where my pastor would not preach out of. He said it was too controversial. He never talked about revelations. Debbie went to that church. I dragged her there. When I met her, she was into Unitarian, so it was okay. They did have a baptistry. I did get baptized. What a revelation. I was just doing it because the Bible said to do it, but I knew I wasn't a sinner. I never killed anybody. I didn't steal. I didn't rob. You know, you go down the Ten Commandments. I was a good girl. I don't know what I was doing, but if you got to get baptized, you got to get baptized, and I did. And then every day, I just learned more and more what a rotten person I was. Oh, my gosh. I started finding out I was a sinner, and I did need Jesus. Amen? How naive we can be. When people, especially when people say, you know what, if I'd have known When I became a Christian, what I know today, 10 years later, I probably never would have done it. I would have been intimidated, scared to death, and I would have had to figure out how to get myself cleaned up before I got in the water. You know what I mean? And I don't remember how long I'd been going to church when I went to that Life in the Spirit seminar, and after the third week, I just wanted something more, and I was going down our main street of where, in the subdivision that we live in, and I just hit the brakes, put my head on the steering wheel, and just sobbed like a baby, and I said, there's more. I know there's more. I feel like I've been robbed. Lord, how do I find out where that more is? And I went to that next Life in the Spirit seminar, and I just walked right in, and I said, I want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight. I can't go another moment. I need it. I've got to have it. I think I'm going to die. And these two old people, they were old when I got baptized, and we did a conference in Anchorage last April, or first part of May, and that couple, the last 2 years of coming to our conferences, have searched me out and found me because they'd just been following me. I was so blessed. I was just so honored and so blessed they found me to see how I was doing. They'd been hearing reports from people, my life and how it changed. I'm trying to remember how old I was. I didn't become a Christian until I was 27, and I would say that was probably 5 or 6 years later. Anyway, I meet in a mint, so if you see me wallowing on my tongue, I'm not having a stroke. Anyway, I can make fun of it. I've had 12, so, okay, I can do that. Okay. So anyway, I just remember I just walked in there and I put a demand. And it was about the time I was becoming good friends with Debbie. Couldn't talk her into any of this foolishness. She didn't understand it. And I just remember they had to do it private, and they took me in back in this room, and they got these two chairs and another chair and set me in front of them. And I got in that chair, and I'm sitting there, and I said, I got to tell you guys something before we do anything. I just want you to know that I'm dead serious about this. I just had the feeling people were just doing it, and they weren't really doing it for the right reasons. You know what? I found it to be true. They don't understand. They don't understand. And I know that this is why it was so different. I said, I just want you to know, when I make a decision, it's sincere. It's from my heart. My husband asked to marry me. I said it was sincere. When I was going to say yes to him, it was under the condition I never heard the word divorce. We would never use that word in our language. We never have. The 10th of January, we've been married 43 years. And we've been through some tough stuff. But Henry and I were like that through it all. We never attacked each other, and most people do. When you lose a child, you ought to heard the pastors in the community and the was the guy that mortician had to pull Henry aside because it was me that was riding her on the bike when we fell over and she was killed, and they were trying to make sure that he wasn't angry at me and punish me for whatever happened, which he was there. He was never going to punish me. He was very overprotective. But they were just trying to assure him that the percentage is something like 89% marriages do not make it when you have some kind of death like in your family. And they just kept telling him those vital statistics, and he was trying to protect me from hearing that, but that never was in his heart. It was never on his mind, ever. It took us a while, though, for him to go to the cemetery with me to see Jamie. He couldn't go there. He just couldn't go there. He was so angry at God for taking an innocent baby from a couple that were righteous. We were self-righteous. This was before we became Christians. And we did all the right things. We didn't drink. We didn't party. We took care of our kids. Everything was centered around our two daughters. I was pregnant again. I mean, we were good, you know. Not judging them, but just trying to get away from it. Hide from it. Not get sucked into it. We were so self-righteous. I didn't know that. You don't know that until you become a Christian, what that's about. You know what I mean? What is self-righteous? So anyway, judgmental, I for sure didn't know what that word meant. I didn't think I was judgmental. I thought I was discerning. But I realized a lot of things. Jesus really exposed a lot. But there I am sitting in that room, and I said, I just want you to know, we made a decision, and by this time when I'm getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, we had lost Jamie, and we had another daughter, and I couldn't get pregnant. And I was trying my darndest to get pregnant because I wanted to give my husband a son. My husband wanted a son so bad he couldn't see straight. You know why he wanted a son? He wanted a son because he had an adoptive father that could not carry the name on, and he wanted to honor him and give him a grandson to carry the name on, to thank him for adopting him. Anyway, and give him his name. And I couldn't get pregnant. But I am sitting there, and I'm just looking at them, and I'm telling them, you know, when I make up my mind, that's it. If I say that I love you and you're my best friend from now on, that's it. I don't change my mind. They know it. I just don't. That, you know, it's not an easy thing when I make that decision. I weigh the costs. You remember? I said when I got baptized in the water and accepted Jesus Christ, I said it's dead serious. I've never regretted it. Denied it. That's the way it is. Sincere. I'm talking sincere. I said, so I'm getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this is sincere, and I want to tell you, and I remember saying this. And see, you have to know something about me. That was the boldest I ever talked in my life. I did not talk like that. She knew me how many years before she goes, man, that is the first time you ever talk like that. I had too much hurt, too much walls, too much fear. I didn't trust anybody. I didn't know what she wanted. You talk about not liking girls. I didn't like girls or boys. I love my husband, though. I'll tell you, he was different. And anyway, that was powerful. I was sitting there. I put my head down and I said, so Lord, I just want to say it again. Lord Jesus, you're Lord. You're Lord of my life. I'm committed to you. And I did that confession all over. Had my head down, these little couple put their hands on me and they start praying for me. Pretty soon I'm just getting so hot, I think I'm going to just turn into fire. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's getting intense, 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 and pretty soon I heard those chairs go, back. You know the scraping sound of metal chairs on a tile floor? And I lifted my head, and they're like back in their chairs like that. They've pushed back, and their eyes are this big, and then they looked up, and I looked up, and it was like this hole was coming through and coming down on me like this. I looked up, and I went, holy smokes. That's how I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And for 3 days, I went around in Alaska, and I think it was January. And we didn't have tanny beds in Alaska then. I went around with this beet red face, like a lobster. My husband come in from work, and he looks at me, and he goes, are you okay? You're red as a lobster. And I was leaning against the kitchen sink, and I said, no, this is what happened when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he goes, and it doesn't hurt? And I said, no. And he said, are you sure? And I said, I'm sure, Henry, this is going to happen to you. The third day when that redness lifted from my face, and I'm telling you the truth, this is the honest God truth. I was sitting on the end of my bed. Henry had gone to work nights, so he probably left about 11, left the house at 11 in the evening. Sitting on the end of bed, the girls are asleep. Remember, I want a little boy so bad I can't see straight for my husband. And, you know, we've had three little girls and one died. And I'm sitting at the end of the bed and I'm just praising the Lord and I'm just singing with all my heart and singing and singing. And all of a sudden this different language comes out of my mouth. I got so excited I jumped out of bed and ran down the hall and did it again. I started running through the house looking for a tape recorder. All I could think of is, Henry has to hear this. What if I never get to do it again? And I found it, and I went in the bathroom. Why didn't I go back down to my bedroom? I don't know, but I was down there by the girl's bedroom in the bathroom on the floor, plugged it back in again, start praying in tongues again. I don't know anything about tongues, by the way. I didn't ask for them, didn't know about it. They hadn't got to that week yet. So I didn't know about tongues, okay? So anyway, I just remember I had that thing plugged in, and I'm just praying away, and all of a sudden, I start understanding that language. And I just start weeping because the language, it was almost like I could hear a man speaking, and he was saying, Father, forgive her, for she knows not what she's done. She doesn't know how angry she is at you. And she's blaming you for taking Jamie. Did you know I didn't know that? That was all subconscious. I had no idea I was thinking that way. But as soon as I heard it, the conviction was just more than I could handle. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't cry very much. I grew up in a home where you didn't cry. It's against the rules. If you cried, you got something to cry about. So I didn't cry. I remember one time I was in the bathroom just a whistling away, scrubbing that bathtub, and all of a sudden I heard the door open and I saw my mom's fist, and this is what I lived with. Come like this and whap! Right in my nose, and my nose... I flipped back into the bathtub. The bathtub had blood all over it. I mean, I'm just giving you an idea of the fact that I didn't cry. And God was changing my heart. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, asking Jesus into my heart, began to take that heart of stone and started to turn it to a heart of flesh. Amen? I'm telling you, you can't pull anything on me. I've been there. Amen? I told you the word that God gave me this year. You know, he always allows me, thank you, to go through it so I understand what I'm teaching. It's not fun. It's not fun, but it's the truth. How many of you that happens to you? Amen? I'm not complaining. I would never complain about it. It's like, are you sure you want to give me that topic right now? I've just had a couple strokes. Are you sure you want me to have that topic? So anyway, I just started repenting to the Lord and telling him I was so sorry. Up at that point, you know, the church tried to get me to do baby showers. The church tried to get me to talk about Jamie's death. I wouldn't talk to anybody about it. I wouldn't talk to my mother about it. My mother would tell people. She would cry. This was afterwards. They were keeping it all secret. But she wanted to talk to me about Jamie's death. She said, you would never talk to me. Well, what are you going to say? I killed my baby? That's what I was thinking. It was my fault. I was responsible for her. I fell over. I didn't pull her head away, and she got killed, and I didn't. That was what I was dealing with until that day on the floor in the bathroom, and God healed me. The next day, my pastor's wife called me and she said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I am going to be putting a baby shower on, and the woman has miscarried and and she's just carrying such a burden for the lost child. Would you come and give a testimony about losing your child? I couldn't believe that she was asking me that. That was none of her business. But you want to know something? What happened the night before? I said, yes, I'll do that. I never did anything like that in my life. Never. And again, I don't even think I showed Debbie a picture of Jamie until after we'd known each other several years. Several years before I even told her what happened. I finally one day told her what happened. It was the first time I'd ever talked to anybody. I mean, I did go do the devotion, but I didn't go into any details of what happened. But it was the first time I'd ever talked to anyone. Henry and I didn't talk about it, even though Henry was there running to me, trying to help me. Because I was in so much danger as Jamie was when it happened. There were so many witnesses. It was on a main street in Anchorage on C Street. I still have to go on that street. I still have that memory. But anyway, just to express this all, the Lord has a plan, and if you're serious about it, and he released me to share my testimony after that song, and I'm telling you, God is sincere about come away with me. God is sincere about wanting you, and if you don't want to do it on your terms, he's going to work it out. You're going to do it on his terms. Amen? If you say, I want more of God, hey, you got to make room for him, so something has to move. And you're not going to like what has to move. I would far rather it be my choice and be submitted than to go through some of the things that I went through to get rid of my stubbornness and my pride, my self-pity, my self-judging, a lot of things. I think the hardest thing that I learned in my walk with the Lord is to forgive myself. And that's where it started, when I started to speak in tongues. It was the most absolutely wonderful thing that ever happened in my life. It didn't ever go away. I started going to charismatic gatherings. My pastor was freaked out, thought that I was going crazy and I needed counseling. So there's no way that there's tongues, you know, your head's just screwing your head up. And, you know, he was not happy about it, but you couldn't take it away from me. It was real. I didn't ask for it. My husband, if he would have said, knock it off, this is garbage, I probably would have set it down because I honor my husband. But you know what he said? He came home and I plugged the tape in. And he listened to it. I said, listen to this. And he goes, you know something, Nancy? I can't think of a better person for it to happen to. I mean, he thought it was special. I said, no, it's for you too. I've been reading all night. It's for anybody that asks. And it took him a while to get there, but he did. But I just so honored him, and he just honored me. I was a closet tongue speaker in a very uncharismatic church. Closet tongue speaker. I finally got to come out. When we left that church and Henry made the decision, we went to the church, the pastor came to our house and I said, you know what? Because Henry kind of messed the plan up. He told me, he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go visit churches, visit them 3 times, and when we finally find a church that we feel like is home, that's where we'll settle. I said, that's a great plan. He's worked a week on, a week off. So he says, you go where you want to go when I'm at work, and when I come home, we'll go to the one on a consistent basis and build up. Meanwhile, he's like Wizard of Oz, and he sees the Nazarene church. He goes, I think I'd like to go to that one. So he goes inside and he says, when are your services? What do you believe? He comes home and he says, I checked out this warehouse. It looked like a warehouse. And he says, I think that's where we'll go the first time. I'm like, okay. Are you sure you don't want to go out to the assemblies? Are you sure you don't want to? There's two of them, one in Kenai, one in North Kenai. There's a the charismatic church on out off of K Beach? And he goes, no, let's go to the Nazarene church. I go, okay. Anyway, so we go to the Nazarene church, and we go there three times. The third time, the pastor comes and sees us on Monday morning. And he says, I am so excited about you coming to our church. He goes, I've been praying for people like yourself to come to our church. He says, I've only been going there a short time, less than a year, and I need people like you. I need some help. And I'm looking at him very suspiciously. And I said, well, I want to tell you something. I have to say this. I'm charismatic. You know, back then, for me, that was a big word. Talk about coming out of the closet. And I said, you know what? I don't want to go back in the closet. Do you have a problem with people speaking in tongues? Do you have a problem with somebody that believes that the gifts are for today, laying on of hands to heal the sick? Do you have a problem with these things? Went through my list. And he said, absolutely not, Nancy. He said, every Nazarene church across America that I worked in, he said at least 15% were charismatic. They were my hardest workers, the most giving, most supportive, always there, faithful. He goes, I need you guys. So the next Sunday we went to church and it was like homecoming. Henry never checked another church out. And we did. We went there and became leaders in that church. It was phenomenal. And it was a God thing. But then a new pastor came in, and he could not figure out why they had a charismatic woman in that church teaching kids. And that wasn't a problem. They could deal with that. But she was traveling a lot going into the villages, and she was going into the prison, and they were worried. If I was charismatic, I was going to draw charismatic prisoners coming out, and they weren't equipped to take care of those prisoners. So they wanted me to quit in the prison ministry. They wanted me to quit traveling and focus on the kids. And my husband said, I don't think so. And I got up and went downstairs. I didn't know what to think. And the next thing I know, Henry's making a decision. We're going to the strongest charismatic church on the peninsula. And he becomes one of the top elders in that church. And they don't believe in women in leadership, but when they put him in place, they decided they were getting two for the price of one, and they put a chair next to Henry, and they put me in. And then I became the first ordained pastor in that whole denomination in the state of Alaska, first woman ordained pastor. Isn't that awesome? And then later, the community pastors and some in Anchorage and whatever said, it's time. Nancy's traveling all over the world. She needs the apostolic anointing on her life. She's more apostolic than a pastor. And I was a good pastor, by the way. You can't grow up in a glow and not become a good pastor. Isn't that the truth? So I was ordained apostolic. Remember where my roots are. Remember my background. Yet God, let him be God. Amen? Amen? And if he can do it for me, do you think he can do it for you? You just got to be hungry. You got to be looking for the Lord. And I wasn't looking for a position. I never was looking for a position. I loved the kids. It was God's plan to come to me. I was taking child development classes at the college. I was getting positioned to take over the Nazarene preschool. They had a daycare, preschool, whatever, after school care, and they were positioning me to take that over as the whatever it was called then, director. And I was excited about it. I was so excited I couldn't eat, sleep, or drink. I told you I love children. I was working with children. And then here comes the Lord, and he says, Nancy, I need you to lay down this children's ministry. I want you to give it to me. And this was a mountain to me. This was the biggest mountain. You thought Jamie would have been my biggest mountain, losing Jamie. But when he said, give me the children's ministry, it was like he gutted me out. I wept and I cried and I wept and I cried, and I knew I had to say yes. I knew I had to do it. I went to the leadership. I went to my husband. He was the superintendent of the ministries of the church. I said, the Lord told me to lay it down. And he goes, I know. What do you mean you know? He came to me 6 months ago. He came to me and woke me up and said, I have to talk to you about Nancy. I'm going to change her life in a new direction. And Henry, you have to let her go. She's mine now. And I was so mad. I was furious. I went, great, you guys got it figured out. You and your buddy. I was so upset. Didn't I do this? She's a very good friend. She knew I was hot. Hotter than a hot tin roof. I was so mad I couldn't see straight. And I didn't want to travel anywhere. I'm not a traveler. I made that very clear to Henry. I didn't want to travel. I mean, when we got married, I said, I want the homemade bread. I want the cookies, because I never stayed in an area growing up. The longest I ever stayed in an area in my life, it was my senior year of high school. Otherwise, we were ripped up in the night and moved here and moved there and moved here and moved there. I never had any friends. That's why she was my first friend. I wasn't allowed to have friends. My brothers, my sisters were my friends. We weren't allowed to go out of our yard. It was like a prison. And we were not allowed to invite the neighbor kids over. And there were a lot of reasons why I won't get into it. But that was the way I was raised, and I didn't know any better. We didn't celebrate birthdays. You ought to have seen me when they were trying to do a surprise birthday party for me. Later, as an adult, several years after being married to Henry. And when somebody's prophetic, it's really hard to pull anything on them. It is very hard, because, man, they're all acting weird, and you know them all like the back of your hand, and it's like, this one's acting pretty strange. I'm serious. They just hate it. I'm not putting a surprise party on for her. She'll figure it out. She just does. Man, I'm all over it. You guys make any shifts? You say you're my best friend and I don't hear from you for a week, you bet you're going to get a call. What's going on? Aren't I like that? Don't I write you just out of the blue? By the way, you know who writes me early in the morning a lot is this one. I don't know if you're doing it texting on the way to work. Shame on you, but I love it. But I'm blessed. I can't tell you how those personal things are so encouraging when you're on the road. Amen? Praise God. But God, in all of that, and he didn't just, boom, send me out to the world. I would have never handled it. I'd have choked out, man. But he did it little by little, and he kept expanding, and he kept expanding. And listen, God called me. God talked to me. God spoke into me. God told me before somebody called me. God told me who I could say yes to and who I could say no to. He said, these are the words you'll hear. If you do not hear those in the invitation, don't go. Do you know how much I have to turn down because I don't hear those words? And I have never even told my husband those words. He said, don't tell anyone those words. They'll play with you. They'll manipulate it. That's why I ended up in Nicaragua. That's why I end up in all those places that I've been. It's not Nancy manipulating. It's not my friends manipulating. It's what God wants me to do. Why? Because he said, she's mine. Henry, she's mine now. And do you know what I do when I'm with my husband? I check in constantly. Do you still feel good about this, Henry? How do you feel about this? I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to go here. How do you feel about this? He said, Nancy, you're the feet to my faith. No, it's not easy when you're gone. That bed is pretty lonely. But he said, I know what you're doing, and it delights me you're doing the Father's business. And he said, I know you feel bad. You don't like to be judged, and I don't. But don't ever question how I feel about my husband. I love him dearly. I get a lot of people wonder how I feel about my husband. You meet him, you see us together, I'm telling you that will put your heart totally 100% at ease. Amen? So I share all that with you. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you better get to it. It's like a key. Amen? And if you don't speak in tongues, I'm going to tell you that's another key. And it's a fantastic key. And I believe it's for everyone. And I believe it's for several reasons. Find out what the reasons are for you. This whole journey that I've went with the Lord and I have trusted him, I didn't trust anybody else. It took me years to trust Henry. He loved me with all of his heart. He didn't give me any reason not to trust him. But it took me a long time. It took my mother's death. It took my mother's death for me to finally come to a place to realize that I had so much hurt in my heart. Little sweetheart, that testimony that was given, this is what I did. I had this little part right here that hurt so bad that I kept it for me and I never allowed Henry to have my whole heart. I only let him have 3/4 of it. That was mine, and that hurt so bad all the time. It bled all the time. It was a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of personal shame because I really took on the blame. It was not my fault. I was a baby. I was a kid. But I want to tell you something. Henry came in from work one day, and he walked in, and I was sitting on the couch. It was after school, and my job when I would go home, and I'd just be curled up in that couch. If it wasn't for the children carrying me through, I would have never made it, I don't think. After my mother died, because of all the abuse. And you know what? Until the person dies, you don't ever size it up. You're always making excuses. And so, anyway, Henry came in, and he looked at me when he came in. Hi, hon. Kissed me. Walked into the kitchen, and I said, Henry, I want to ask you forgiveness. He comes out, and he looks at me. He goes, what am I forgiving you for? What'd you do? And I said, and he thinks I'm perfect. He really does. I have him so snowed. Anyway, he goes, what is it? I said, I beg your forgiveness for holding back. You've just loved me so unconditionally. 24/7, and I always held back this part. How many have done this? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, let's be honest. And you want to know something? He said, I know, honey. I've always known it. And I knew one day you'd give it all to me. Does that give you a little more picture of the character of this man? And I said, I promise, I will love you with all my heart. I'll never do that to you again. I don't have to do that. You know, because when God starts cleaning you up and he starts sifting you, he gets the big stuff. Sometimes the big stuff doesn't show up until down the road. When you think you're yippy-skippy fine, and all of a sudden, well, what's that? You want me to give you an example? Well, I had them sitting here. Oh, they moved it. When I first got down here, I went to a meeting and this sweet lady came up to me and she says, Nancy, I keep seeing this picture. I said, really? She says, yeah, I just keep seeing this hourglass. I said, really? Okay, nobody come over here and knock that over. And it is blue. Blue sand. I keep seeing this hourglass, and I went, interesting. She said, but it's not you. And I said, well, what am I? And she says, I see a sift. I said, really? And she said, I see you being sifted. And whenever people get pictures like this, it's not just for me, right? So I went, And I wandered around in ministry, and Henry and I prayed about it, talked about it. And, you know, we came up with a lot of things, and, you know, I'm rooming with Debbie Grimes, and I remember I was laying there getting ready to, I was in bed, she was getting ready to go to bed, and we had gone through many things, and a lot of people had a different opinions, but I noticed that when I was in different churches, God gave me a different definition of it. And one of the churches, God was showing me, this is our normal life every day, and we just keep flipping it. And it's just our normal life. But if we're willing to serve the Lord, we're going to be willing to be sifted. And we're going to be a peculiar people, and we're going to be different. You guys were different coming to this conference. You are sacrificing all your comforts, all that you love to do. Stay home, watch a movie, take a bath, and, you know, eat. Whatever you love to do when you're sitting around the house with your children or read a book or be with friends or whatever. But you chose to be here. You chose to be here because you want something more. Amen? All of you want something more. You just want to get closer to God. I hope that's what it is. And I hope that it's coming. So I can't say that you're like this. But a lot of churches are like this. And you'll just see them turning the clock, and they're doing the rote, and they're just doing business as usual, or you're going to see people like you that are walking around with sifts, and you're running into people like me that are saying, let's do some pouring here. Is this true? Some of you say, oh, Nancy, you intimidate me. Those are the ones that really need to be sifted. But I'm going to tell you what, I went to sleep, I talked to Henry, I went to sleep, and I woke up a little bit after Debbie went to bed, and I said, oh, Debbie, I said, the Lord just gave me a word about that. Peter, when he just tried to smooth it over. He tried to smooth over the circumstances. He's going to protect Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you know, Satan rebuke you. He says, do you know that Satan has asked to sift you? Meaning you're about to go through some trials. And God has a lot invested in you. And he's got a lot invested in you. He has a lot invested in you. And guess what? You all got a lot invested in him. Do you think Satan likes that? Do you think he likes it? Every one of us in this room that are called of God, I mean, it's like there's a sign up here, and it's the devil's list. Okay, this is the top 10 most wanted. There they are in that front row. Minions, get on it. God gave me permission to sift them. I said, look at them. I love you. And they go all over the world, and they just think they're hot stuff. God says, no, they don't. You don't really know them. What a jerk. Go ahead, sift them. I'll show you how awesome they are and how faithful they are and how they're willing to give up everything. You just can't kill them. Amen? Boy, don't you think God was mad at Satan? 8 strokes in 2 years? 12 and 2.5? Let me tell you something. Don't you think Daddy's mad? No wonder he puts his hand on my head right here. Amen? God is good. But I want to share something. It's just so enlightening. This is sand, but the girls went out and found me a lot of rocks. This is your life. Look at that. Those big pieces. But look at this. God can do something with this. And you know, he left a couple stones in there. He let them get in. How'd that happen? Let me tell you something, just for a little bit of information. When flour is sifted, why is it being sifted? To get out the lumps. But it's not necessarily to get out the big hunks. It's to lighten it. To lighten it, to make it lighter. To make the cake lighter. God, what did I tell you about last night? What did I say that the weightiness of God is? Kabod, which means his Shekinah glory, his light. Here it is, his light. I'm lighter. He got rid of some stuff. He got rid of some stuff. I mean, I think I'm stronger than I've ever been in my life. The convictions in me are stronger than they've ever been. I'm not... Did you see what Debbie did to me? She left my bags. I quit doing that. And what about Debbie? She said, I'll take the blame for anything. Just put it on me. Well, I did. What did she do? It's not my phone. Did I get bugged? No. Later. Amen? Are you willing to be sifted? Are you willing to be sifted? There's a lot in the Bible, but I think chapter 9 of, which book is it? Amos 9:9. It talks about sifting. And when it talks about sifting, you know what it's sifting? The bad stuff in the Israeli people. And after he talks about what he's going to do, and he's going to lead them to destruction, the ones that are ignoring God, being bad, then he turns to what's left and he rescues them. Let's look at the dividing line here, everybody. Let's just be honest. What is it that really is holding you back? Women, is it because your men won't let you do anything? Or have you conveniently used that as an excuse and blame them? Do you know how many men my husband told me that the wives would say on one side of the coin, I would never ask him, I'm afraid of him. And the man's on the other side going, I don't know why she's afraid to ask me. But there are men that Henry works with that go, man, you need to get a clue. You need to clip your wife's wings. They've said that to him. When he worked in the plant before he went to the college, they were cornering him going, man, you make us look bad with our wives. Henry says, well, I'll tell you what. You talk to him. You talking about the big guy? Henry cracks me up. You talking about the big guy? And he goes, yeah, I'm talking about the big guy. The big guy told you let her go? He goes, yeah, well, I don't want to mess with the big guy. Some of the stories he comes home and tells me, you know, and he doesn't do it to hurt me. At first it hurt to put him in that position that he would have to defend our choices like that. It hurt. I still was young and sensitive, and my shoulders were very, very thin. I used to get hurt when people would misunderstand the ministry, and they would say things, and even whole organizations would say things about me, and they don't even know me. I'd get devastated. I would. I don't do that anymore. You know why? You don't want to know why? Because he's sifting that big stuff out of me. That stuff that doesn't matter. He's fine-tuning us all, if we're willing to be fine-tuned. He's getting us in a position where what really matters? What really matters? What really matters? Are you holding on to dreams that are just absolutely not in God's plans and you haven't got it? It hasn't got into your head and you can't get on with life? Have you ever experienced that where you get something in your mind and it cripples you for 10 years? When God's saying, live. Live. You've got something. Maybe it's a marriage broken and you're thinking you're waiting for that spouse to come back. Well, guess what? You're the righteous one. You're the one that's been faithful to God. You're the one that's keeping yourself right. Well, guess what? There's a right one out there for you that's going to think you're great. Amen? It's not that I'm advocating divorce. I am not. I'm the last person to do that. But when they're out there and they're just beating themselves up and their spouse has gone on and married someone else and they're still waiting for them, it's time to move on and trust God. Amen? Trust him bigger than that. Amen? Trust him bigger than that and see what he'll do. Because what we're doing is playing God. When we put those things on God, they're absolutely ridiculous. Amen? Because because people have free wills. And you may be totally submitted, but that other person is not. And that person's got a rope around your neck, jerking you around in your life circumstances. Why do that? Get rid of your chunks, guys. Let God sift you. Let him sift what's unrighteous and righteous. Amen? He said, listen to the sound. This whole weekend is about listening to the sound of the Lord. Listening to the sound of the Lord. What does the sound of the Lord want to say to you in your brokenness? I've redeemed you. I've delivered you. Would you redeem yourself and deliver yourself? Will you forgive yourself? Quit playing God. I don't know what you're going to let him strip you down to before you figure that out. And I haven't arrived. I still have a ways to go. But right now in my season, you know, here where I'm licking my wounds about my health issues. Now, I just want to take a second to say, since I started talking, I've been making a sound. A new sound. A more honest sound. What are you hearing me say? And I don't want you to say very much. I just want you to say a few words. But what are you hearing out of my heart? I want to see if I hit the mark. Roy, what did you hear? Mm-hmm. What did you hear? Amen, brother, what did you hear? Freedom is, oh, yes. Yahoo, what did you hear? Very loud. What did you hear? Wisdom? Is that what you said? Amen. He's hosting me. I'm staying in his home. Wisdom. And he has a hard time speaking out loud. Amen? Say wisdom. Wisdom! Amen? We're working on it, right? What did you hear? Our Father. By the way, man, you got a cool dance. What did you hear? Transparency. What did you hear?
Well, I think that what you were saying, you're very honest. And I've written all kinds.
Well, I want to tell you something. When you hear these words about me, guess what? I'm an outpouring for you. Pull it in. Amen? Yes. He says wisdom. You have wisdom. We've been sowing in and sowing in and sowing in. Amen? Mm-hmm. Mary, what did you hear?
Shake it off.
Shake it off. What did you hear?
I believe my Father will come back to me no matter what because of his love. I would come easy or I can come hard.
Oh, that's good. What did you hear?
His love, his thankfulness, his mercy, and his grace.
Amen. What did you hear?
It's worth it all.
It's worth it all. What did you hear? Well, I'll come back because what did you hear? Trust him in every area. He'll never let you down. What did you hear? Afterwards, up there. Amen?
I know what it is. Stop making excuses for not doing what he tells you.
Stop making excuses. For not doing what he tells you to do. What did you hear, Dan?
I heard that your ashes return to gold.
Amen. Isaiah 61. What did you hear?
I heard, don't give just a part, give it your all.
Give it your all. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. What did you hear? You're the one that prayed over me at the beginning. What did you hear? Amen. What did you hear?
Believe God enough that he can pull the junk out of your life and you don't have to.
Amen. Jean, what did you hear? What did you hear, Hope? He is way big enough. Amen. Bob? Mm-hmm. Hope deferred saddens a heart, but a hope realized is the tree of life. I am certain of that. Mark?
Commitment.
Commitment. Amen. Amen. And it's tough. But you know what? He won't hurt you. He won't. That's the neat thing. I think the hardest thing is realizing he never left me. He carried me. I know, but you're married to a great husband. Let him pick him up. What did you hear, Valerie? Sometimes you need a little of it, though. You know, even when you're sifting flour, they said they're not so much getting rid of that stuff. They're just trying to make it lighter.
Well, it's the goodness of God that draws men
to. Amen.
And I think that gets stuck sometimes. I don't think you should be afraid. It's God's goodness. He's trying to. It's not that he's trying to take something from you or cause pain. He's trying to get something to you.
Here's an exciting thought. If God wants to sift you, that's because Satan's after you. And if God's in the picture, oh my gosh, we can't lose. Amen? Liz, what'd you hear? What'd you hear?
And give God everything because he's doing everything to you.
Amen. Sabra? Amen. Wise woman, what did you hear?
I was going to say the same thing he said. I heard freedom and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And being honest with yourself.
Yes. Took me a little while to get there. I thought I was too stupid. That was part of my problem. Amen? But I don't have those problems anymore, you guys. I have the freedom, like you said, to be transparent. At the risk of being transparent so that you will think about your own issues. If I can do it, you can do it. I remember one time they were looking for volunteers to sing in that conservative church. Henry says, let's do it, let's do it. Well, I had a piano teacher and I was taking piano lessons and she said, I'll work with you. I said, I'm not a singer, but Henry's a pretty good singer. I said, okay. She says, you just pick out the songs. So we picked out together, like about 6 or 7 songs that just kind of would go for a little while and go into another song and another song. They were all Christian hymns. I'm very much a hymn church at that time. And there was 2 different organs, and that was it. A piano and an organ. That was the music. And we got up there and sang, and I'm going to tell you what, I was sweating bullets. There wasn't any deodorant was going to cover me. When we were done, these men and women popped all over, you know, with their little, they were going around with a pad to get volunteers to do special music on Sunday. And they were going up there going, I'll sign up. If she can do it, I can. I was hearing them say that. I went, Henry, and he goes, no, that means if you got courage to do it, I mean, I know I look scared to death, but I did it for Henry. Stop it. It did. It transformed the church. Do you remember that? Yes, praise the Lord. Amen? Let us have ears to listen to the wisdom that God applies to our hearts for understanding. Amen? Great is the faithfulness. His mercies begin to fresh every morning. I say to myself, Lord, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. Amen? Behold how good and how pleasant it is if the brethren would dwell together in unity. Amen? Listen to the sound of prayer, praise, and prophecy. That's been our weekend, and we pray you're blessed that you're going to leave here more mature, bearing fruit early. Amen? You ain't going to be no fig tree all blistery with leaves and no fruit. You're going to go out there and start bearing fruit. You don't want Jesus zapping you. Amen? Did you get that? That was a funny. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise your name. We thank you for an awesome time, an awesome covering, an awesome blessing, a house full of love, a house full of stretching. Father, let us go through the gauntlet. Father God, it was one of the greatest experiences I ever experienced in my life. To list out those things the enemy uses against us that we know is going on, but to actually see it and walk by it and have the hope at the end of that gauntlet that Jesus was waiting. But we had to walk that lonesome valley together. Alone. We had to do it by ourselves. And Father God, when we came out of it, you had a glorious fire tunnel. You had a line of prayer. You had those that laid hands and anointed you and prayed for you. And if you believed for healing, so be it. Lord, you blessed us through the workshops. Nobody did a bad job. Everybody did excellent. Everybody. And Father, I just thank you for this night as we bring it to a close, that you give my brothers and sisters safe traveling mercies home. And Father, I pray that you will establish, I just declare this with all my heart, and I ask the angels in heaven, hear this, and the trumpets are loud, establish what they have learned. Let it never depart from them, Lord God, and let it bear fruit. Let it bear fruit in everywhere they go, in their families, in their workplace, in their church. Lean, mean, loving machines, send them home. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.